So, thank you for being here. For our next talk, we will speak about self-authentication in Tor networks. And so, we will start with Jeremy giving the talk.
All right, thanks. All right, I'm Jeremy. I'm going to be talking about TLS certificates for Tor Onion services that are self-authenticating. Before I go any further, I do want to give a quick content note. This talk does contain some brief mentions of geopolitical internet censorship relating to the war in Ukraine. This is in the form of both text on some slides and also verbal elaboration. That content is only a couple minutes of this talk, but please be aware of this. So, show of hands, who here is familiar with Tor Onion services? Great. Okay, for anyone who's not familiar with Onion services, they let you host TCP services anonymously. An example of a URL of a Tor Onion service is this URL here. Now, you may be noticing that that URL is a giant base32 string. That's because Onion services are both encrypted and authenticated by the Tor daemon using an ED25519 key that's embedded in the domain name. So there's no trust of third parties in Onion services. All of the encryption and authentication are just pure crypto. And show of hands, who here is familiar with TLS? Okay, great. So for those of you who didn't raise your hand, TLS is Transport Layer Security. You might know it as the S in HTTPS. It gives you encryption and authentication for TCP services. It's based on an old 90s-era Netscape protocol, SSL, and sometimes people will still incorrectly call it SSL today. So why might we want to combine Onion services with TLS? So Onion services are anonymous, and this is great, so that's an advantage. But TLS does have better end-to-end security. And what do I mean by that? Well, Onion service encryption is terminated at the Tor daemon, whereas TLS is actually terminated inside the application. Now, why does that endpoint matter? Well, for example, the Tor daemon and the application might be in different trust domains. For example, there's a really excellent operating system called Unix, which lets you run Tor browser in one VM and the Tor daemon in a different VM so that they mutually distrust each other. So even if one gets compromised, the other is safe. You could also have a web server running inside Unix. It doesn't just have to be the client like Tor browser. And critically, the client and the server won't have any way to know whether the other has a threat model like this. So unless you actually control both the client and the server, which is probably not the case, you should probably assume that you have an interesting threat model like this and that you will benefit from using TLS with Onion services. Another reason why you might care is even if the Tor daemon and the application trust each other, they might be connected to each other using an insecure network connection. For example, quite a lot of commonly used Onion services of major newspapers are work by having a Tor daemon and an HTTPS server running on different IP addresses inside cloud infrastructure. And alternatively, you might be using Tor browser on a laptop, using a Tor daemon on a Wi-Fi router. And again, there's no way for the client or server to know whether the other has an interesting threat model like this. So there's another reason why we might want TLS to be used with Onion services, which is just compatibility. Because a lot of applications just expect TLS to be there. If you try to access a website that doesn't have TLS, web browsers will start showing scary warnings and they'll restrict features so you won't get webcam access, etc. And, you know, like we could just patch the browsers and all the other applications to be okay with that. But Tor browser actually does have patches like that, and they're a giant maintenance nightmare, and they've had security issues in the past because of that. So it seems like just giving these applications the TLS they want is easier than just trying to patch all of them. Now, the challenge we run into here is that TLS uses certificates to authenticate the servers. And so we need some way to issue certificates for Onion services. Now, we could try to use TLS without any authentication, you know, self-signed certificates, things like that. The problem is that's great if we only care about passive eavesdropping attacks. But if we care about active man-in-the-middle intercepting attacks, then we need authentication. Also, most applications don't like self-signed certificates for good reason, and so we'd have to patch them. And that brings us back to the problem I described earlier. So normally, if you have a standard website, you would get a certificate from a public certificate authority like Let's Encrypt using the ACME protocol. And QMySell has done really amazing work getting the ACME protocol to work with Onion services. So perhaps soon you would be able to just use Let's Encrypt to get a certificate for an Onion service. But I have some concerns about that being the only approach, because the certificate authorities act as centralized trusted third parties, and the public CAs routinely engage in censorship today in practice. For example, Sci-Hub had their certificates revoked due to a copyright lawsuit. In addition, every website located in the Republic of Donetsk had their certificates revoked due to OFAC sanctions. In addition, a Russian media outlet aimed at American audiences got hit by OFAC sanctions, and their certificates were also revoked. And Let's Encrypt says publicly that they revoke, that is to say censor, the certificate of about one website every month due to OFAC compliance reasons. To make matters worse, in order to censor a certificate like this, you don't even need to get a court order. In fact, you don't even need a formal government request. Let's Encrypt is doing that censorship due to OFAC issues without even ever being asked by OFAC to do so. And so if even Let's Encrypt, you know, they're backed by EFF, they're the good guys, right? If even they are so scared about OFAC violations that they're censoring of their own accord, maybe we should investigate complementary options that might be more censorship resistant, like Onion services themselves. Another motivation I had here is certificate transparency. Some Onion service operators want it because it lets them see if someone else is doing sketchy stuff with their certificates, but others don't want it at all because it puts their address in CT logs. And so if they don't want CT, they need some other option besides the public CAs, because all the public CAs do put all the certificates in CT. So to solve this, I took some inspiration from DNSSEC. In the DNS world, there's these things called TLSA records. The way it works is you look up a TLSA record for a domain name, and you get back a public key. And this public key can be used as a domain-specific CA to authenticate TLS certificates for that domain. Now, we don't want to use DNS, of course. And contrary to what you might guess by the fact I'm affiliated with Namecoin, no, we're not using a blockchain. But, you know, this idea of, you know, put in a domain name, get back a public key, that's actually really easy here, because the .onion domain for an Onion service literally is a public key. Just parse it, extract the ED25519 public key, and you're good, right? So, and you can actually make a TLS CA that uses ED25519 keys. And Alexander Faroy from Tor Project actually made a proof of concept of this a few years ago called OnionX509 that does the CA generation part of this, although he didn't make it work with standard web browsers. So web browsers don't do TLSA, unfortunately. So this approach needs some trickery to make it work. I had to solve this problem at Namecoin a few years ago. I looked into browser add-ons. And unfortunately, web extensions, which is the most commonly known form of browser add-on, are not really an option here, because Mozilla doesn't want malware web extensions to be able to interfere with TLS. However, there is another kind of browser add-on that most people haven't heard of. It's PKCS11 modules. It actually is fairly well known in the sense that it's how smart cards and HSMs are added to Firefox. What you might not know is that Firefox uses PKCS11 as a database query API for looking up TLS certificates and their trust policy. So for example, Mozilla's built-in root CA list, which is where Let's Encrypt and Komodo live, is actually stored in a PKCS11 module that's shipped with Firefox. There's also another module shipped with Firefox called SoftToken, which does SQLite queries. So if you add a CA yourself to Firefox, that's where it's stored. And these are both PKCS11 modules. So a few years ago, I had actually made a PKCS11 module for Namecoin that does TLSA lookups over DNS. It was called NCP11. And it worked great. Like, it did exactly what we wanted. Namecoin what TLS certificates validate without issues. So for doing this with Onion services, I patched that module to do something analogous. But for Onion domains, instead of using a TLSA DNS lookup, it just extracts the ED25519 public key from the domain name and uses that. There is a catch here, though, because even though the TLS RFCs say that ED25519 is a totally valid signature scheme, Firefox doesn't allow it. It only allows the standard NIST elliptic curves. I did find a workaround, though. It is a stupid workaround, but it works. Here's how it works. So when Firefox needs to look up a certificate, it sends our PKCS11 module the subject name of a CA certificate. And our module responds with the full certificate of that CA and whether it's trusted or not. What's a subject name, you ask? It looks like this. So it's got a few text fields, it belongs to digicert, etc. You'll note there's not a public key there. Our module can return a CA certificate containing any public key we want. We just have to know which public key we should be returning, which is the public key that the Onion service operator wants to use. Now, if we wanted our module to return a CA with an edu5519 public key, that would be easy as heck. Just embed the Onion domain in the subject name, which, you know, we would do anyway, and extract the edu5519 public key from that, and we'd be good, right? The problem is, we want our module to return a CA with an ECDSA public key so that Firefox will accept it. And how do we know which ECDSA public key the Onion service operator has owned? Here's a fun trick we can do. So, subject names can have a serial number. This is not the same thing as the certificate serial number, to be clear. So a subject serial number is arbitrary text with no length limit. There might be a length limit somewhere, but I never hit it. The Onion service owner can just embed an ECDSA public key and sign it with their ed25519 key and stuff that public key and signature into the subject serial number. So you get this very excellent serial number there. So our module sees a request from Firefox for a subject name that has a .onion domain, an ECDSA public key, and an ed25519 signature embedded in it. So our module verifies the signature and constructs a certificate with that ECDSA public key, and it gives that certificate to Firefox and marks it as trusted for that given .onion domain. All Firefox sees here is a CA with an ECDSA public key and a really strange-looking subject serial number, but it doesn't care what the serial number looks like. It sees that our module marked that as a trusted CA for the Onion service in question, and Firefox is satisfied. So for deployment, on the server side, I have a command line tool that I wrote. You give it the .onion domain for the Onion service you want a certificate for, and you also give it the path to that Onion service's private key. That's why sudo is used there, because the Tor user controls that private key normally. It doesn't need sudo otherwise. And you put the resulting chain.pem and key.pem into caddy or whatever other TLS server you like, and you're good. You don't need network requests, you don't need an Acme client, none of that. On the client side, it's also quite easy. You can install our module in the same way that you would install the smart card in Firefox. You go to security devices, click load, choose the path of our module, and you're done. Onion certificates with edu5519 will now work. And it works in TorBrowser too. So this is a screenshot of an Onion service I spun up a couple weeks ago, loading with HTTPS in TorBrowser with no certificate warnings. So that's kind of cool. In terms of compatibility, any application that's using NSS or GNU TLS knows how to use this, because they use PKC7 for this. There's an analogous API called AIA, which Chromium uses, as well as the Windows and Mac OS certificate validators. And the Namecoin version of this code I already ported to work with AIA. I think porting the Onion support to AIA should be straightforward as well. And altogether, that means it should work with basically all the major TLS implementations except OpenSSL. I should note here that our module can just set a flag indicating that it's exempt from certificate transparency requirements, because there is a flag in PKC7 that does that. You might be wondering if these APIs will just go away soon. As far as I can tell, these APIs should be pretty stable because Red Hat is aggressively promoting it. Red Hat is actually also adding support to OpenSSL right now, mainly because this is how Fedora and RHEL rig all of their packaged applications to use the operating system root CA list. So it seems relatively safe for us to rely on these APIs. There is a downside here, which is that since edu5519 is the trust anchor, but the certificate chain is still ECDSA, that means that if the attacker can break ECDSA, the stronger security of edu5519 won't help you since ECDSA is part of the chain. This is kind of unfortunate, but I think it's the best we can do without patching the browsers. This work was funded by MLNet Foundation and the Netherlands Ministry of Economic Affairs and Climate Policy, as well as Cyphers. So huge thank you to them for funding this crazy mad science experiment. Now, you may be wondering, what's next? Well, funny thing. I wrote this code about 2 weeks ago, at which point I also prepared this talk. And then 1 week ago, I discussed this work with Q myself, who worked with the Acme approach. And the result of that conversation is I'm probably going to be rewriting all this very soon. Because there's a new approach that we came up with, which I'm probably just going to put standard TLSA records into the Onion service descriptor, which is some data that all the Tor clients will download as soon as they connect to the Onion service automatically. And so that will make it much more similar to how DNS and Namecoin do it, so I won't need to stuff signatures into a serial number anymore. So huge thank you to Q myself for the awesome feedback on how I can simplify this. So this is my contact info. If you have any questions, I will be happy to answer them, either here now, or you can find me here later at GPN, or email me, or whatever. Thank you so much. Mic issues, huh?
Yeah.
Should work now. All right. We have 4 minutes for questions. If you have any, raise your hands now, or leave it like here. Oh. No questions. There is one. All right.
Yeah, so if I remember correctly, there's also this, which you briefly mentioned, way to use DNS records for the keys. But if I remember correctly, some web browsers don't support this standard. Would it be possible to maybe patch in support for DNS-based trust anchors for certificates using this approach?
Yeah, so the problem is that all the major web browsers have explicitly rejected TLSA. I think that's a horrible decision on their end. But I sort of understand why TLSA didn't catch on a lot, because if you're using standard DNS with TLSA records, you're basically shifting the trust from certificate authorities, which are a trusted third party that can screw up and compromise things, to, you know, DNS registrars, which are also a trusted third party that can screw up and compromise things. And so you're just sort of shuffling the trusted third parties around, and it's not really a big improvement. For things like Onion services, obviously that's not a concern, but I kind of feel like this use case of doing it with Onion services is niche enough that I don't think the major web browsers would want to add support for, especially because most major web browsers don't even support Onion services themselves. But that's a good question.
Any other questions?
Had Mozilla explicitly rejected supporting ED25519 certificates for CAs, or have they just not implemented it? Like, would they be open to implementing it in the future?
I believe there is a Bugzilla bug open for it, but it is not getting much traction in terms of getting implemented. As far as I can tell, Mozilla wouldn't say no to a patch if it were clean. The problem is they also don't want to spend any time reviewing those patches or writing them themselves, in large part because the CA Browser Forum regulations prohibit using ED25519. And so the only way it would ever get used in practice would be with, you know, private enterprise CAs or the kind of stuff I'm doing. And so, like, given that Mozilla has to follow the CA Browser Forum regulations, they just don't have much interest. I have heard, and I don't know for sure if this is the case, but what I've heard via rumor is that there are a bunch of people in the CA Browser Forum who are very, very against ED25519. And so I think until that changes, which I don't know if or when it will, this kind of approach will probably be needed. But that said, The rewrite I mentioned at the end of my talk, where we're just going to put a TLSA record into the Onion service descriptor. If we do it that way, we can just put a standard ECDSA NIST curve key there, and that will work fine, and we won't need to do the trickery to make Firefox handle the ED25519 keys. So there is at least some hope on the horizon for simplifying this insane mad science. Good question. Thanks.
So one last question. Anyone? Volunteers? All right, then, thanks to Jeremy for the talk, and one last applause.
Thank you.
CPMM.